Panda Talks is a podcast that uses adult language and has adult themes. Viewer discretion is advised for anyone under the age of 14.
I wanted to open this like the producers. Reddit! I devoured it, and I find it remarkable. Remarkable! It was full of rich historical goodies. I, for one, never realized that the Third Reich met Germany.
Yeah, how about that?
Welcome to Panda Talks. I'm Panda.
And I'm Brady.
And we're just going to adjust this microphone. Where did you want it?
Right there.
All right. Well, it's time. The time has come. Finally. Well, what has it been? A 6-month promise?
I don't know.
August, September, October, November, December, January, February. Is that 5 months? I count weird on my fingers.
I was flexing, so I didn't
count. That was perfect. Oh, gosh. Anyways, back in episode one, I promised a book club, and today we are here to deliver on that promise. We read Killing Patton. We read it a while ago, and we're here to review it. But before we review it, we need to get comfy. So let's kick up our feet and let's get talking. Brady, what are you drinking tonight?
Mountain Dew. What are you drinking?
Mountain Dew. You don't change.
I don't change. Shit don't change, Charlie. Shit don't change.
Shit don't change. I'm drinking a...
This is the ASMR mic.
Maybe it's ruined. It should be. I spilt a little.
I see that.
I got a nice crisp Diet Coke. We do not have a cooler for my drinks. They just sit out in the winter night air and...
And it actually snowed a little bit. I don't know if you've looked out.
Well, when you told me to go look at the trash can...
Oh, yeah.
It was snowing. So, all right. Don't yawn. So anyways, Brady.
Yes.
I wanted to read Killing Patton, and you got it on Audible because it just proved so impossible for me to read.
Yeah.
With my children, so we ended up both listening to it. How did you like it? What did you feel about? If you could give a quick synopsis, if that's the correct term, mm-hmm. for everyone out there, what would you like? What's your summary of this book?
The synopsis that I got. That I have for this book is basically, so it tells you about General Patton, who wasn't the top general. He was for most of the book, he was 3 stars. And then at the end, he got his 4th star. And basically it tells you through the book that he was a 3-star/4-star general because he didn't like to play the game. The top general of the war was, of course, Dwight Eisenhower, who later became the president, because he liked to play the politics game. And Patton was basically the outlaw. He did what he wanted.
He was more or less the Eddard Stark. He's like, I'm not playing the game. I'm just serving the king.
Yeah.
Type of Game of Thrones feel, except he didn't die. Well,
but he
did die.
I mean, spoilers from the cover. he doesn't die early by the bad guy.
He was, what, middle-aged?
He was older.
In the war. I don't think he'd be alive today.
I'm pretty sure he was retiring. I want to say he was like 60 or...
Yeah, seeing as my great-grandfather is past 5 years.
Mm-hmm. But basically, it's a story of his... Like his troops, his war experience. Like it's got a lot of other stuff too. Like it tells you about big wars during World War II. Some of them have stuff to do with him. Some of them are just like in the realm of where he is. It does give you a lot of insight into like Hitler and his whole.
I like it because it almost seems random until you're like, oh, like they kind of set up.
Yeah.
They kind of tell you other stories that don't really have to do with the war, but it kind of explains the times. Like, it goes into FDR running for president again,
mm-hmm.
and how his polo has made it so hard he can't even walk to the podium, but...
Polio.
That's what I said.
I heard polo.
His polio.
Polio.
Makes it so hard for him. I could... Dude, sometimes I listen back to these and my... Like, in my brain, I know what I'm gonna say, but what comes out of my mouth is different. I'm like, I think back to Frankie Muniz, and now he had a stroke, and he thought he's talking fine, but his girlfriend couldn't understand him, and I'm like, mm-hmm. shit.
Oops.
Am I having strokes?
Well.
Anyways, it explains the times. Like, so it might tell a story that seems yeah. completely irrelevant, but it's, like, here's what's going on in history at the time. And so, I'm a history buff. I love history, so I really dug it.
Mm-hmm.
Conspiracy theories, as mentioned on, I think, the last episode, if not two episodes ago, I do enjoy a good conspiracy theory. So that's what this book is about. It is history and conspiracy. So if you're into one or both of those, this book is for you.
Yeah.
Should I explain why? What caught... Never mind. Some particular reason caught my interest with this book, but it is a later episode. So stay tuned. Make sure you subscribe so you can hear that episode when it comes out.
Some research needs to be done before.
I need to get to Cedar City and talk to people, but there's a freaking pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
You just worked with a guy who tested positive, so
yeah,
that's delayed my trip for another 2 weeks. At least.
No, they're saying it's a week, but it's a week after.
I know, but where I'm going to go see my grandmother, my great-grandmother, like, I'm just going to wait.
Your grandmother and probably a new baby.
A new baby. I want to see that new baby.
My babies.
So anyways, Brady.
Yes.
What were your thoughts on General Patton? Because though I just mentioned I'm a history buff, I'm not like a war person. I dated this guy who was all about, he loved Eisenhower. Eisenhower was mm-hmm. his favorite. So I've never looked through history and went, oh, these great generals. Like, World War II fascinates me because I had a great, great uncle and a, you know, my great grandfather served in World War II. So obviously I'm proud of their service. So anyways, Patton, I didn't know about him going into this book.
No, I didn't either.
Okay, so what were your thoughts on him?
So basically about Patton was, like, going in not knowing anything about him. And the first couple stories that it tells in the book are kind of, they don't shed a good light on him, I thought. Because it's like he sends his people to do stuff, but they... will literally die for him. Like, if he says, hey, go do this, they're like, yes, sir, going to do it. You know, don't ask questions.
I think Hitler even says, kind of, this is relevant to, like, literally just what we are watching, how in My Hero Academia, Stain views All Might as the only worthy one to kill him. Hitler, I think it even mentions the book, Hitler's the only one that's like, Patton's the only general who's mm-hmm. like worthy enough to go against me. The only one he respected.
They said, I remember it clarifies several times that they weren't really worried about Eisenhower, but pretty much all of his generals viewed Patton as the man to beat. If they could beat Patton, then they could win the war.
Yeah, because he was incredibly
tenacious.
He was competitive, like, he was racing against, what was that other, like, British general? There's one British general that he was constantly competing against. And what I got from that was they do paint him kind of in a bad light, but he's someone that spoke his mind. He was blunt. And I don't think that goes over. You're someone, you and your sister are famous for, pardon my language, but being straight up assholes. Because you're just blunt and you tell it like it is. But because no one is like that, everyone thinks you guys are just funny as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But really, you guys are like, we're just cracking eggs of truth, cracking eggs of wisdom. Like,
yeah.
No offense if my sister-in-law's listening. That was, like, compliment. I promise. But yeah, so I think he was just someone that he just was to the point. And as you said, he didn't give a damn about politics. He just, this is how it is. And that's where he made a lot of enemies. And not just, you know, the access powers, a lot of allied enemies. So that was my takeaway on him. Was he an asshole? Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. There are some stories where it's questionable, like him going into the camps, the medical tents, and if there was some guy who wasn't physically injured, he'd yell at him and assault him and threaten to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially looking now about PTSD, that guy was really suffering, if not physical. Like, that stuff's ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think it just speaks to his character that he was saying what was on his mind. But that's another thing about him. He really did care about his troops, because he went to all the little healing tents or whatever they're called, the makeshift hospitals, and he visited all the wounded soldiers, which I think is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Eisenhower ever did that. Well, suck it, Mitch.
It said several times that he had his trademark Jeep with the three stars on it, and he would get in his Jeep and he would drive his entire length of the army saying hi to all of his people, and then he would drive back. Like, he was out there on the grounds.
And didn't it have a, like, certain horn blare, I think, was mentioned?
I can't remember,
but I would like to imagine it'd be like, as he just drives down. That's the most, like, redneck American thing I can think of.
And it, like, I wasn't trying to say anything like he was bad. It was just trying to say, like, his people would die for him. And he did make a couple decisions that were dumb. Like, he's like, we need to take this place now. And so he sent his army in to take it.
Wasn't it the Metz Fort?
I can't remember what it was called. It was in France.
I think it was the Metz Fort. It was a very awful, bloody battle. I think this is the one the book starts up on.
Yeah. And it is very violent and gory. And it's weird because it, like, I thought it was funny because... Not funny, I guess, not funny, haha, but funny, like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Like, it paints this guy, like, I can't even remember his name, but it's this dude just runs in and just, like, his leading officer got killed. So he's like, boom, I'm in charge. Here's what's happening. And he just, like, runs his troops in there, takes over. They actually end up, like, taking control of the fort. Because they find a little access vent, start throwing bombs down it and scaring everybody inside. And then they go in and start shooting them. And then they set up camp on the roof. And this is like, I don't know how long later. And he's like peeking out over and gets shot in the head and killed. And I'm like, holy crap, you just like made this hero.
It was like weeks. They were there for like weeks.
Yeah, but I mean, he gets killed really fast after taking
the
fort.
It's kind of a shame that we don't remember his name, because he definitely deserves to be mentioned. We, like, should look
I'm pretty
that
sure
up.
He got some posthumous awards.
Yeah, he did.
For
They used but, to refer to Patton as Old Blood and Guts. He'll get his victory on the blood and guts of his men, or something to that extent. But Old Blood and Guts is what they called him.
So I think... Like, it's really informative.
It really is.
Like, it does talk about Patton a lot, but the book gave a lot of insight into what was World War II that I felt like you didn't get in school.
Exactly.
You know, it's the stuff nobody, it's a lot of the stuff nobody wants to talk about, because it's the ugly, ugly side of war. Because everybody wants to be like, oh, everybody followed the rules and America won.
And this is where you and I have to share a soapbox, because I know you mentioned this right before we started talking. This was my biggest revelation, was listening to this book and realizing that I was not taught World War II in this way. And you and I have talked about this, but this is my biggest, like, mind blown of this whole thing, is I was taught in my school system that America didn't want to get involved. Japan bombed America. So we went... Those are our classy neighbors, if you could hear that. Maybe you couldn't, and I seem crazy, but anyways. So Japan bombed America, so we bombed the shit out of them, and then we went to Germany, and we whooped ass, and we liberated the concentration camps. That's how I was taught. And then reading this, at least I believe Auschwitz, I don't know if that was the first concentration camp liberated.
I don't know, but it was the biggest and the worst.
But in Auschwitz, the Russians were the first to get there, not the Americans. I'm sure the Americans liberated some. I don't, you know. But it was definitely a team effort. It wasn't just America, fuck yeah. And then after the war is done in Germany, we're still dealing with the Pacific War, I think it was called. In, you know, because it wasn't World War II back then. I don't think it was, but...
Yeah, I don't remember.
But yeah, like things in Japan were still happening. Like, I don't think we had dropped the bombs yet. So just that alone made me go, holy shit. Like, it's not that I had a big trust in my school system before, but after learning this, I'm like, wow. It's like, I recently read a book by Craig Ferguson, and he said something in it along the lines of, history is so funny in America, it changes depending on how the person needs it to be at that moment, and something to that extent. And this was exactly like,
and I think it's funny because I don't remember what year we covered World War II. I remember covering it in fifth grade. And so I'm not expecting you to tell the stories of the Holocaust at fifth grade because you're not ready for it. You know, as a kid, you're not ready to learn about the Holocaust.
Dude, it's fucking rough.
I want to say the second time I learned about it, I want to say I was still in like young school, like seventh, eighth, maybe ninth grade.
I recall high school learning about it. I can't remember if it was my junior or senior year. Probably junior, because I think senior was government. And if that's the case, I'm a little disappointed because my favorite teacher taught me history, and he was German, for crying out loud. He should have gotten it right.
Maybe it was 10th. I think 10th grade was the last grade that I took a history class.
Okay, maybe. I can't remember taking history in 10th grade, but I don't know. I don't know.
It might have been one of those that like you have to take it before you graduate, but you can take it whenever within those years.
I'm sure I took it. I feel like it was a constant, like always got to take history.
It's kind of like math. Like math, I finished all of my math my sophomore year, and I never had to take it again, junior or senior.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I could have, but I didn't.
You're talking to a woman who dropped out of math to save her GPA. Let's move on.
Oh yeah, I did take. I took math 1050. That was college math.
And that's why we're married. You do the math for me. I just massage people and rake in the money.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things like I think even as an adult, and it probably would have been different, a lot different before I had kids, to listen to the stories of the Holocaust and all the like the Hitler's youths and stuff like that. Being a, if I was just a young man of 25, no kids, been married for like a couple of years, that would have been a hugely different story for me.
Yeah.
Because it's such a dark time. And I think that's what's driving me crazy is it gave me, so this book really gives you an insight into the Holocaust.
Well, before we get into the Holocaust itself, I think we need to just shout out for anyone listening and thinking about reading the book and hopefully listen to this. I know this is backwards. Listen to this before you read it, but trigger warning. It talks about Auschwitz and not even that, but like the recovery of the prisoners in such a harsh, like, manner. Mm-hmm. I guess, like, it's true. Like, it doesn't sugarcoat it, I guess. It's just, and it is just so.
It's unbiased.
Hard.
I mean, a lot of people will be pissed because they're like, Bill O'Reilly, that guy's like the hardest right wing, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, I felt like this book, I hate politics, but I didn't feel like this book was pushing an agenda.
It really felt just like matter of fact. Like I'm just presenting everything that happened to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's your trigger warning is just the whole Holocaust bit. I think it's just a chapter called Auschwitz. If I were to listen to this book again or read it again, I'd definitely skip that chapter because I just sobbed. I just, like, I remember listening to it and putting our baby asleep and just sitting there just sobbing as I rock her to sleep because it was so hard. And then it just keeps going and, so trigger warning. It's, I mean, but the whole thing was ugly. So I don't know.
I think it'll definitely change. If we covered this a little bit more, I think it would change a lot of stuff because I'm sick. Like, especially after hearing this book, I feel like it's such a common thing for everybody to try to associate something happening nowadays with the Holocaust.
Mm.
Like, oh, freaking, I don't know what's her name. It was a girl. She's in Deadpool, the first movie. She's the strong girl. And then she's in The Mandalorian, but we didn't watch that. She got in trouble because she's like, I feel like nowadays people on the right side are being, and basically said something like, equated them to like the Holocaust or whatever. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm so sick of people that don't really have like a mind in it trying to, because you can't really, like, after George Floyd died, and everybody's like, man, comparing, you know, African Americans in America to the Jews going through the Holocaust. And I'm like, I understand it's a terrible thing, but you can't really put those together because one is people being persecuted, the other one is a genocide. Like, you're trying to wipe out a race rather than trying to oppress a race.
As the host, as the show with my name on it, this is a delicate subject I don't want to touch, so I'm going to say they're both awful and ugly.
Yeah, they are. They're both awful and ugly, but I'm just saying, like, they're different evils. So you can't cover them together, I think.
Okay, thank you.
That's my thought.
Yeah, they're different evils. But I was that person in high school. I famously called, I'm admitting this, so I can apologize and get over the awful thing I said. But in high school, I famously called my high school a Nazi death camp because that's how I felt about it at the time. I even went to the Holocaust Museum and saw that. That was an amazing experience, an amazing and emotional experience. But I was still a fucking dumbass, and I called my high school Nazi death camp, and I apologize that I was so ignorant back then.
Well, I think that's why you can't drink until you're 21 in America.
Because you're a dumbass?
No, because your brain is not developed until you're 21. So I think a lot of people did a lot of dumb stuff when they were younger. You can't really be held accountable for it. But yeah, I think it's one of those things like people need to stop comparing it to other things. Like, everything just needs to be on its own. Don't say something, something, something like the Holocaust. I'm like, okay, it may be bad, but it's not mothers and children being stripped of their clothes and taken in an oven and killed. Bad.
Yeah.
Like, you die holding your kids' hands. I'm like, that's not the same thing. Okay, that's two completely different things.
You're making me tear up, so you need to shut the hell up.
But no.
I'm too emotional for this shit.
But that's
I can't even think. Ugh.
I think is the big point of the book, is it goes into the dirty things that nobody wants to talk about. Like, it talks about why the SS was so bad. Because I freaking had no idea.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, they're Hitler's chosen few, whatever. And then they go into that story that I'll share real quick. It goes over it in much bigger detail in the book. But basically, there's American troops leaving, and then the SS is coming through town, and they all surrender. They're like, we give up. I don't know if they're all Americans. They might have been completely.
I thought they were. Oh, okay. They're allied.
They might have been mixed. Yeah, allied. So they're leaving. The SS is like coming through. And they're like, we give up. We want to be prisoners of war. Because when you give up, you become prisoners of war, get taken to a prison camp, and then you get held there until the war's over, and then you get released.
Yeah, but you get fucking tortured. And
yeah, so that's part of the,
give me death.
The Geneva Convention, the war rules, is if somebody gives up, you take them as a prisoner, and then that's your bargaining chip. So what these guys did, they gave up the SS. Like I said, that's Hitler's number one group. Those are like the special forces. They take these guys into the field and then just proceed to execute all of them, which is completely against the Geneva Convention, breaks the laws of war, which basically means it can go crazy, but they just like shoot everybody,
you know,
in the field.
As I didn't know what the Geneva, I've heard of it, didn't know what it was, even listening to it, I still didn't understand what it was. You explained it to me, and Super Mega Podcast this week is recording mentioned it in their episode about why it's so stupid that there's rules in war. Mm-hmm. And I agree. Why is there a rule in war? Oh, someone surrenders so you can't kill them. Well, like, if they're your enemy, like, yeah. Do what makes... So I can't understand that. Like, you say this is what makes them awful, but for me, I'm like, I don't know. From a tactical standpoint, that seems like the logical... I agree with Ryan and Matt from Super Mega that what are they going to do? Oh, they broke the rules! Oh, we win the game because they broke the rule. Like, that's... It's real life. It's not a schoolyard game. So I don't understand why there's rules in war.
I think it's more of a... I don't know. I guess the way I look at it is I'm like, it's shameful. You know, like if I'm fighting somebody and they give up, unless it's like a game, I guess war is a game of death, but I'm like, yeah, if they give up, I'll just be like, okay, then drop all your guns and run. Like, leave. Like, yeah. I'm going to take away everything that you have to fight with and you can run away. But I don't think I'd be like, okay, get on your knees. I'm about to, you know, execute you. So they shoot all these guys in a field covered with snow. And then a couple people pretend to be dead for like hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, I can't remember. And then the SS finally leaves. These guys all jump up, run to a nearby place, and then tell their leaders, like, oh, these guys violated the Geneva Convention. So I don't know if that's, and I don't know if that's, if by violating the Geneva Convention, it basically says, okay, now we're going to use things that we couldn't use before, like the nuclear weapons, you know, because I'd be like, oh, I don't want to do nuclear weapons because it completely makes the land uninhabitable, you know?
It's fucking awful.
Yeah, like it just destroys everything and puts a lot of radiation. But I don't know. So I don't know what the rules are, what the everything is, but I'm just like, yeah, they are, but they were the bad guys. It's not like... It's kind of like when you watch a TV show, it's like Batman, right? He's going to have his rules that he's going to follow. But Joker doesn't have those same rules. So I don't know why the same is in war. Like, if the Allies were Batman and the Axis was the Joker, of course he's not going to follow the rules. Like, it just... So I understand what you're saying, but I also don't understand the reason for the Geneva Convention. I'm sure there's a whole thing I can listen to that's like, this is why we need a Geneva Convention. I'm like, okay. But as at this point in my life, I don't understand.
So I've always wondered, speaking of Geneva Convention or code or whatever, I don't want to downplay Pearl Harbor. Like I said, second man, because you're first babe, but, you know, a man I hold very near and dear to my heart and respect with every inch of my being and love unconditionally, was a proud veteran of World War II. And so I don't want to downplay it or discredit or make it seem like it wasn't bad, the devastation of Pearl Harbor. But I've always been like, okay, so they bombed, what, 3 ships?
I don't know.
And yes, shit ton of lives were lost.
I think it was like 1,500 or maybe 3,500.
But did that really justify us dropping 2 bombs and killing civilians? People that didn't have anything to do with fucking anything? And not just bombs, like freaking... like god awful bombs that just annihilated, just fucking melted them to the core. Like, I never understood that. Was it worth a few ships and military, which I'm not saying it's okay to kill military, but they have more of an agenda versus, you know, families, generations, children. That's where I draw the line, because I guess I'm a bleeding heart for kids, but
I think kind of from reading this book and learning the backstories, it sounds like it wasn't so much a big screw you to Japan as much as it was, hey, Russia, This is
that's
what
I was gonna say, because that brings up what I wanted to talk about next. Is I've always wondered. I had a friend that like really was, I don't want to say into Stalin, but they would bring up a lot of like, Stalin did worse.
Yeah.
We don't talk about Stalin.
He was a monster.
And I never understood why do we never talk about Stalin, but like we're Hitler, you know, was just as bad. And this book explains it, and I got all excited, and it was because Stalin was an allied power. He was on our side. So we were so willing to look the other way. He can do whatever he wants in Russia, but he has to help us defeat the Nazis.
And I think a lot of it, too, was people got mad because Hitler was doing these things to other people, and Stalin was doing it to his people.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, you know, a terrible analogy of like, okay, well, my neighbor's beating their kids. That's their problem. But if they come into my yard and hit my kid, I'm going to have a problem. Okay. You know, and you go, you know, from the outside looking in, I'm like, no, that should be your problem at their house too.
It really, I'm sorry. Oh gosh, I'm going to make light of a horrible situation, but you just made me think of a very relevant scene from Robot Chicken. It's like all the countries are kids in elementary school, and Germany's over there like picking on France or someone, and they're like, America, America, help us. And he's just sitting there with like glass, and he's got his feet on the desk. He's like the cool kid, and he's like, not my problem. Then Japan walks over and pushes his milk down, and he just like takes off his glasses, and he's like, okay, now it's my problem.
Yeah, so I don't know. It was definitely eye-opening, because like I knew that Stalin had killed his own people, like a ton of his own people, like millions of his own people. And you're kind of like, oh, okay, but why didn't we do anything? And you're like, well, it's just Russia being Russia. That's what they do over there. All
those crazy Russians.
And then you hear about, you know, I mean, I'm sure the Allies weren't, or the United States weren't like perfect. And I'm sure the British weren't perfect. But then you hear about all the atrocities of the Russian army coming over, and you're just like, oh my gosh, like how was America and Britain okay with everything? Unless they found out afterwards, then I could be like, okay, well, plausible deniability. But if you're going through a town and all these people are shell shocked and they're like, oh, the last army that came through freaking did all these terrible, horrible things that I don't really want to talk about here because they're really unmentionable.
I'm like about to throw up just thinking about
and
it.
And you're just like, okay, yeah, they're on our team, but still.
Yeah, that's what, because even Patton hated the Russians.
Yeah,
and
he didn't trust them.
That's another thing, is like, not just were they allies, but there is a huge, like, Winston Churchill and FDR, and then who was elected after FDR? Because it was the second guy.
Oh, shoot.
Shit, I should know this. I should know this. Anyways, here, hurry and Google search it while I talk. But the president after FDR, it was that guy. Oh, why can't I remember him? I know his name. Was it Johnson?
Hold on.
Anyways, yeah, Anyways, he, like Eisenhower was...
Truman.
Truman! There is Harry Truman. He's dead in the ground. Dead in the ground. Dead. Anyways, so after, I don't know how this works, this makes no sense to me, but after, you know, the war, they're gonna like assign power to the different allied countries in Europe. So Churchill was smoozing Stalin so England could get a big plot, but Truman was also smoozing Stalin to...
I thought it was FDR.
He died halfway through. Maybe it was FDR. Yeah, because Truman hated Stalin. And that's when the Cold War started, was with Truman. Anyways, America was schmoozing Russia. So, like, different... There's, like, a power struggle between England and America and Russia. And basically, they were both, like...
Oh, yeah, because FDR died after they won Russia. Or after they won Germany. But
he...
But they hadn't won Japan yet.
That's right. And I lost my train of thought, but
yeah, so he was schmoozing Russia behind Churchill's back, and Churchill was trying to be like, hey, we're still here, we're gonna get this, and we're gonna get this, and we're gonna get this, and they're like, yeah, and then behind the scenes like, okay, so what's really gonna happen?
Yeah, so that was another reason we were so eager to turn a blind eye to Stalin, was because he had a power that we needed to negotiate. But while we're on the topic, I hate to give credit to a monster, but Stalin was like ultimate dad. Like, when I listened to that bit about Stalin, I was just like, I feel like this is every dad deep down.
Yeah.
He loved his daughter. He was an atheist. Christmas was banned from all of Russia, but his daughter went to a diplomatic Christmas party, came back and told him about how lovely the Christmas tree was and how much he loved it. And so he created a brand new fucking holiday, not Christmas, but it had the Christmas tree. And he did that just for her. Like,
the Christmas tree and all the Christmas decorations. And
but it's not Christmas because they're Christmas. Atheists. And then his daughter loved a man. And so that man got a one-way ticket to the
front lines.
No, I thought it was Siberia, a death camp.
Oh. I thought he got put where he was going to die, but...
Well, I mean, yeah. In the end, he froze to death in Siberia.
He basically sent him to death.
So I hate to give credit to a monster, but he was ultimate dad.
And then his daughter hated him for the rest of his life, and I don't think she talked to him.
And he got what was coming to him. So before anyone gets mad at me for, like, complimenting him on his dad skills, he died, and he deserved it.
Yeah.
He suffered. Mm-hmm. I'm not someone that likes to see people suffered, but you know what? He didn't deserve anything less.
It's a bit of funny irony. It's something out of a Monty Python.
Oh my hell, it really is, isn't it?
A Monty Python. But yeah, I mean, and it's what's funny to me is that nobody, you never hear about it, because it's basically like they have all these truces and all these ideas, and then Germany gives up, and then Russia's like, just kidding, we're taking everything. And they're like, wait a minute, you can't do it. No.
Again, why is there rules in war? Makes no sense.
Because I remember the one big thing that got Patton really pissed off is they were going to take Berlin. But then, I don't know if it was the president or I don't know if it was Eisenhower, but they're like, no, as a show of peace, we're letting the Russians take it.
It was Eisenhower. Patton hated Eisenhower because he was... gutless? I don't know. I can't remember his exact words.
He was politicking, and that pissed him off. He's like, let's just be smart and win this for us instead of trying to be nice to these guys who are just going to screw us.
Yeah.
And he was right, and they screwed us. And then the Cold War started because everything that Russia said they were going to do, they didn't do.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
So, yeah, that aspect, that I think pretty much covers the history side.
Mm-hmm.
Should we delve into the conspiracy side?
Yeah, just a little tidbit about the history side. It goes into a lot of, like, war plans and stuff. I think it'd be hard to read, but it's awesome in an audiobook because you're like, okay, this is what the plan was. This is what actually happened. And then it's really cool. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
So and I'm not making light of any of that stuff.
It has, like, maps that you can, like, see, like, here's where General Patton's men were. Here's where the enemy was, you know, and things like that.
That's like really cool story straight out of movies where these guys are like, okay, it's impossible to hold this town. And then they held the town for freaking ever. And then just as they were about to lose, an army shows up and they keep the town. And it's like, holy crap, that was so cool. Like, amazing stories.
It's like movies, but real life.
Yeah, it's just like if you... think of real life, you're like, oh, it's not going to have a happy ending, but this one literally ends like a movie.
Yeah.
Like, as they're just about to fall and lose it, it's like, oh, here comes the Third Army.
I will say, because I just mentioned we're going to delve into conspiracy, I've heard a lot of conspiracy about Hitler's death.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard many, and I really appreciated how Bill O'Reilly just, or whoever did the research, just as like, this is how it went down. And so did he escape on a U-boat to Argentina? I don't know. After listening to how everything happened, I'm like, I think he was a pussy, and I think he committed suicide.
It sounded like he was knocking on the door anyways.
Yeah.
Because it sounded like he wasn't that far off of being dead.
Oh, no.
When they're like, oh, yeah, he fled and then lived for... I'm like, I don't... Like, listening to what people said about him towards the end, I'm like, I don't know if he would have lived, like, a couple more months if he didn't kill himself.
No, he was... He's... I don't know. I'm into the conspiracies. I really do enjoy a good conspiracy, so I'll listen to what anyone has to say about his death or whatever, yeah. But I think he died in that bunker. I truly do, because especially where literally the town was falling down around him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how would he have escaped into a U-boat? Unless he was there, and like, weeks before.
Yeah, and it because he did have lots of doubles, so that's what people are saying, like, all a double. But then, so it is a 100% accurate fact that a lot of Nazis escaped Argentina. Like, that's indisputable. That's not... That actually happened.
We should talk about the producers one time.
Well, I was just thinking about the scene in X-Men, but...
Oh, well, I was just thinking about how when I post this episode, I'll post, like, a GIF or something of springtime for Hitler and Germany.
Yeah. Well... Yeah, I was thinking about that scene because we always talk about it. Not always. We talk about it a couple times at work when Magneto goes to Argentina and sits down at a bar and listens to a bunch of ex-Nazis talking about their crazy stuff they did. And then he brings up, like, oh, hey, I'm a Jewish guy. I was there, blah, blah, blah. And they pull out their guns to shoot him. And then he's like, nope. And then makes him kill
himself.
Was that
in the newer X-Men when they're like young men?
Yeah. It was with Michael Fassbender and he's in there. And they're like speaking German and stuff. And he starts speaking German. They're like, oh, you're a fellow whatever. And then he like, I think he shows him the tattoo on his arm.
I just remember from the old movies when Magneto's collecting the mutants. And they're like, that one hardcore, I think she's hardcore girl's like, where's your ink? And he shows his serial number and he's like, and a needle will never touch my skin again or something to that effect. And I was just like,
so
cool.
It's funny because like they talk about it in the original X-Men, how he's like, well, they just show him being pulled away from his parents and he's like reaching out and like destroying all the gates because of his magnetic power. But then later in First Class, when it's Kevin Bacon's character who... Yeah, he's a Nazi, but he's a really bad guy that's existed for a lot longer. Like, that's just one of the many roles he plays because he's, like, super old. I think that's his mutant. I can't remember. He can, like, take in energy. I don't know. But anyways, it shows a lot more of the dark side of him being, like, experimented on.
All right. Let's move away from Marvel because it's my least favorite subject. And let's move
into... It's not your least favorite subject.
General Patton had many... almost deaths, strange almost deaths. Like one time he was in a plane back to the States and I think it was a British airplane came up and almost crashed into him.
Mm-hmm.
And when they radioed the British Air Force, which was in the area, and they're like, what the hell? They're like, all our planes are here and accounted for.
Yeah. Then the time, I think it was right after they had crossed into Germany. Around that time, and they got attacked by a Allied plane that they're like, they mistook us for somebody else, but the plane was flying super low and shooting super accurately. So they're like, there's no way they got us mistaken for somebody else.
Yeah.
And then they're like, hey, we don't know who this plane was. They were just shooting at you for no reason. And then the plane crashed and killed whoever was in it. So nobody knows.
Yeah.
So yeah, lots of strange,
like almost deaths.
Yeah,
but there are strange almost deaths. Not because I mean it's stupid to say he had a lot of almost deaths when he's in the middle of an effing battlefield.
Yeah.
It's just strange things like that. But what ultimately took him away was he was driving in his car somewhere. He had a driver, so he's in the back seat.
So I'll give the preface.
You
the
give
war's
the
over. He's still in Germany because they're doing stuff. Eisenhower's going to go to Japan. He's pissed because
he wanted to go to
Japan, but basically he's being sent back to the United States. And so he decides instead that he's going to retire, but he knows a lot of stuff that he probably shouldn't know, but he's going to retire and go back to America. So his last days in Germany, and I think he's just having fun.
I think they go over in the book, what is this forbidden knowledge? I think that's what another bit of all the random stories are, is, you know, this is some knowledge he knows about, you know, the plans with Russia and all this stuff. So to me, it didn't come. I'm like, well, what does he know that's so special? But it's been freaking how many years later? 80?
1940 to 2020. Yeah.
80 years later. So like, we know all this stuff. Maybe he had more insight that we don't know about. But yeah, I just wanted to point that out, because I was like, after they're like, he knew things. I'm like, what did he know? And then I was thinking about to all the chapters. So I'm like, everyone knows that. But I'm like, well, I wasn't fucking there when when it was a big secret.
So yeah, he knows too much. He decides to leave. So he's spending the last of his days just basically doing leisurely things. So he's going hunting with a guy who he's gone hunting with a million times, it sounds like. And then that continues into your story.
Oh, you just go ahead and tell it, because I'm fighting a burp.
So basically, he gets a limo, and him and his hunting buddy.
That is just a regular car.
Well, it's a regular car, but it's a limo back then. So it's just a it's a longer regular car, but it's not like what we would think of today as a limo.
It's not a stretch limo. I thought it was a Rolls Royce.
It might have been. It was something super, super swanky. Yeah. Basically, just a little bit longer than a regular car. He's getting driven to this place. I want to say he's not that far from where he was staying. He was staying in like a mansion or a castle. So he was being driven out by this man. And so him and his friend are sitting in the back talking. He's got a driver whom he's trusted for a while. And then as they're driving, a American army truck inexplicably swerves into their lane, missing everybody else, hits their car head on. But that's not the crazy thing. You're like, oh, an army truck hitting a freaking limo. Of course, I've been. The two guys are in the back and they're not buckled up. They hit. Shit goes crazy. The driver gets out of Patton's car, gets out to yell at the three people that were in the army truck. And as the one guy comes up, he can clearly smell liquor on his breath and just proceeds to yell at the guy saying, do you know who's in this car? And just lays into him. The other guy's like, oh, hey, Patton, are you okay? And he's like, I can't remember if he was unconscious or whatever.
Then I think he asked about how's my dog doing, and then he passed out or something. Like, he asked, he's like, how's everyone doing? And then, but yeah.
But yeah, then he, later they call the MPs, the military police, to come out and do a thing because it was an army vehicle involved with a four-star general at this point's car. And then they basically, like, the story that comes from it is there was one person driving in the military truck when the driver of Patton's car clearly remembers three people. Patton, after that wreck, goes into a coma.
Yeah.
Does he go into a coma? He's paralyzed.
Yeah, he's paralyzed from the neck down.
So he's in a hospital bed. It's
like a big fear of mine.
And it sounds like he's like popping in and out of consciousness. His wife flies out. She's staying with him. And then she leaves to go get some food at the cafeteria and comes back. And he's like in good spirits. Like, he's doing fine. She leaves, go get some food at the cafeteria, comes back, and he's dead. Like, he just died while she was gone. And then the driver of his car said that there was three drivers in the other car, or three people in the other car. The official report from the military says there's one person in the car that hit them. That one person then disappears.
Well, and that, to make it stranger, the report also states that Patton's driver swerved into them.
Mm-hmm.
When the driver says, no, they swerved into us. And I think it's worth mentioning that those three drunk men weren't even cleared to take that car. That was like below them. It was like
a stolen truck.
It was stolen. And yes, all three disappeared.
All three disappeared. The guy that was in the car with Patton, I want to say he was fine. Like, he walked away from it. No problem.
I think
the driver walked away just fine. And then somehow Patton paralyzed. Well,
him snapping his neck, I don't know. I'm willing to say that probably happened. He wasn't wearing a seatbelt with how he was sitting and his head like smashed against the window. Like, I'm not going to say that bit's fishy, but you know, the fact that like he's recovering fine and then just dead. I mean, the official report says that a blood clot loosened and killed him.
Yeah.
But,
could be. I mean, that happens.
Yeah.
But it really weird circumstances.
It is really weird circumstances. And that's just bit of part of the conspiracy. He could have died a natural death. It could have gone down just like I mentioned, or it could have been, I think poisoning was the big, talk that someone,
I think somebody said they shot him in the neck, one of the guys, but I'm like, how would they shoot him in the neck if both people are there, and how would they have not seen a bullet hole? Even if it was a really small bullet. But then the driver of the truck disappears for 30 years and only reappears on his deathbed. I don't know if it was him or somebody else that claimed to be part of the truck. Somebody said that Wild Bill Donovan, who we haven't mentioned, but in this, he plays a big role in the book because he was a right-hand man to
FDR,
and he was basically a spy. And then he became the guy that invented the CIA.
Which is why we don't trust the CIA.
Why we don't trust the CIA.
Seedy beginnings.
And then he basically said, like one of the guys, I don't know if it was that the driver or one of the other guys, somebody admits on their deathbed as they're dying, I was paid by the CIA X amount of money to assassinate Patton. And then he dies. So everybody's like, this could be a deathbed confession. This guy's like, I don't want to take this to my grave. Or it could be just some crazy guy like having a fever dream as he's dying.
Yeah, that's the fun thing about conspiracies is there's a really fine line between, well, what's real and what's not.
Like a lot of times there's a lot of really good evidence, but then you got to think how much of this is legit evidence and how much of this is just like, well, I need my 5 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and like I said, because just the whole crashing of Patton's car, which is a very distinct, everyone knows it's his car. I think it has like his flags or something on it. Yeah, it had
the four stars on it and his,
So was it a crash meant to kill him, but he just paralyzed? Or did someone paralyze, like did someone end up shooting a gun that ended up paralyzing, not killing him? Or did that not get the job done, so someone poisoned him in the hospital? Like,
yeah,
all these possibilities just for because he knew secrets and he wanted to retire.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I like how he ends the book. I think he knows the audience he's speaking to. I think he knows that a lot of conspiracy theorists have a bad reputation. So he ends it with, I'm just telling you the facts. This is what happened. This is how he died. In my opinion, it doesn't add up. Mm-hmm. I think all he says is, I think it warrants like an investigation. I think we need to relook into it. He doesn't say like with his tinfoil hat on, you know, like he was effing murdered. And he doesn't rant about the frogs being gay, but he just says, look, I just think this needs to be looked into more.
And it does cover, like, I want to say it does. It's not just a shitting on book, like shitting on bad people. Like it does have good stories like that story about the Nazi that Berlin's falling, he's running away, and then basically they're like, no, you're going to go back and you're going to fight, and then he like quits the army right there and then just saves a ton of kids. And then I'm pretty sure he gets executed later, which is a really sad story.
I don't recall that one.
They made a movie about it, but I can't remember what it's called. So this guy, like, they're telling him to go back and fight. He sees that they've already lost. He quits, and there's all these kids that are like gonna die, so he ends up saving all these kids, and then he's later executed for it because it was treason, and they hadn't, like, I think it was before Hitler died, but he saw the writing on the wall. He's like, we're surrounded, like the Allies are coming from the east and the Allies are coming from the west, we're dead center. He's like, we're sitting ducks. So he's like, I'm gonna take all these kids, who's probably stuff is happening to their parents, whatever. And he saves a ton of people, gets executed, which is really tragic, but it's a really cool story about somebody who's like, you know what? I'm probably going to die. So I'm going to go ahead and do some good while I can.
Yeah.
Because I've
repent for my Nazi sins.
Yeah. But it goes into really good stuff, and it does end. And I liked the very, very ending of the book where it kind of mentions everybody that's been mentioned in the book, and it kind of says like where they went on to if they did go on, and it kind of like ties up all the like, oh hey, I don't know what happened to this guy, and I'm like, oh, his driver that saved him, he went on to do this, you know.
I guess that's where I was kind of confused, because without getting, I mean, I've already talked about why I'm interested in this book. I had a family member that was close to Patton, had a mysterious death. My grandmother brought up that a lot of people who were close to General Patton had mysterious deaths. So I went into that book. She said it doesn't mention our relative by name, so I didn't expect that. But in that list of where they went on to, a lot of them like died of natural causes, lived to a ripe old age. Like no one, like a few of them died in weird ways, but like not a lot died in unusual deaths, which was, I don't want to be like, I'm disappointed, but that's kind of what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I think there's another book. I'm not sure. I feel like she mentioned this one. And this is the one I was actually asking about when she gave me Killing Patton, was, I think it's called All of Patton's Men. I'm gonna Google search it. I have fat fingers. All KF Patton's Men. Anyways, long story short, too late. She told me that everyone around him had died in a mysterious way as well as he did. Mm-hmm. So I guess, like going on to what you said, like with the, here's where all these people are, I just was like, oh, I thought more people died mysteriously around him. So
yeah. And I mean, it could have been like, it just talked about the big key players. But yeah, I think for me overall, I really enjoyed the book. Probably would have been really hard to read, but definitely perfect for audiobook.
I agree. I really enjoyed it. Like I said, if you are a history buff, if you are a conspiracy theorist, this book is really for you. I enjoyed it a lot, and it really was eye-opening. It was a hard book to listen to, but I mean, it's about war,
mm-hmm.
so it's going to be ugly. All right, Brady. I think that's all we've got. I've been Panda.
I've been Brady.
Oh! We can't end yet. I have to talk about the new book. If you've made it this far, if you're still listening, I have ordered the new book that we are going to listen to. And I picked one that I hope really fits to our audience. I'm really excited about it. It is called Who is Haunting the White House by Jeff Belanger. I don't have any trigger warnings because I've not yet read it, but Jeff Belanger seems pretty PG, maybe PG-13. So I'm hoping and praying that there's not anything bad, anything trigger warning. But it's just about ghosts in the White House because it's famously haunted.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard a ton of stories. So that is the book I've chosen. We will review it in a later future. If you'd like to listen along and be included, go ahead and order it yourselves and read it with us. And then, Brady, you look like you have something to say before I finish.
I just
it.
Felt like I wanted to give the actual full credit where it's due. The book that we just covered is called Killing Patton by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Dugard.
Okay. Perfect. Not to be confused with the new book that we will be reading, Who's Haunting the White House by Jeff Belanger.
And we can talk later about when I get to pick the book, but we'll talk about that later
I asked if you wanted to take turns, and I told you I was buying a book for my birthday, and that's what I did.
I didn't know we were going to read that for the podcast. That's fine, though.
I asked you. I presented it to you today and said, can I do this for our book club? And you said, sure. I said, I thought you'd be into it too. Would you read it? And you said, sure.
I'll read it.
We're okay. Good. I want to know if you guys read Killing Patton. Let me know what you think about it. Reach out to us on our Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Let us know what you thought of the book. Liked it? Hate it? What were your favorite parts? What did you hate about it? Let us know.
Do you also feel like you were let down by the school system?
Yes. Let us know what you learned in your history class. And I think that is officially it from us. I've been Panda.
I've been Brady.
And we can't wait to talk to you next time.